start just to our service tonight by singing together hymn number 9, the first hymn just in our hymn sheet. It's a well-known gospel hymn. It says, "With hearts and with minds, there stands a great throng in the presence of Jesus, and sing this new song. Unto him who have loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be glory forever. Amen." Hymn number 9 in our own hymn book, first hymn in our order of service. We'll just keep our seats while we sing as our sister leads us in the organ, please. Just going to unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look afresh to the Lord tonight, praying for the Lord's help and blessing in our meeting tonight. Let us pray. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we bow humbly in thy holy and sacred presence tonight. We come to thee, O God, in no merit of our own. But Father, we come to thee tonight through Christ our Savior, the one who is the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank thee for thy great love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank thee, O God, for his atoning death upon the cross of Calvary. We thank thee, O God, that Christ died the just for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Father, we thank thee for this theme of this hymn that we've been singing tonight, that truly Christ indeed is the one who makes the rebel a priest and a king. And Father, we thank thee, O God, through Christ we have new life. We have life eternal. We have life more abundant. And Father, we thank Thee that through Christ the Saviour, we have the forgiveness of all of our sins. Our sins, not the part, but the whole, are nailed to the cross, and we bear them no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful sufficiency of Thy grace. Thou said that my grace is sufficient for Thee and for every need. And Father, we thank Thee for the great hope we have as the people of God, that hope of heaven, that hope of glory, that inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And Father, in this the evening of Thy day, we return Thee thanks for Thy goodness and Thy mercy and Thy grace toward us throughout this Thy day already. And Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful privilege we have of meeting together in the house of God with the saints of God to praise Thee and to worship Thee. And Father, we thank Thee for that great promise of Christ when He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And we pray tonight, Lord, that we might know a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. We realize, Lord, that it is Thy presence that makes the feast. And Father, we pray that Thou would tabernacle amongst us tonight, O Lord. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit, we pray. And Father, bless every waiting heart. And bless all who have gathered this evening and also all those that are listening in online. And Father, we pray that Thou will come and bless and meet the need of every heart and life as Thou would see our need. We thank Thee for every child of God in this meeting house tonight. All who are saved by Thy grace, Lord, bless them and encourage Thy people and strengthen Thy people in the ways of the Lord, we pray. Thou hast told us in Thy word that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of Thy might. And Lord, help us as Thy people day by day in our lives and in our walk with Thee, O God, to shine for Thee and to be bright and shining witnesses, Lord, for Thee. Remember every home and every family represented. Meet the need of every home and every family, Lord, we ask. Do unite every family circle in the Lord and grant Thy help and Thy blessing to be upon Thy people in these days in which we live. For any, Lord, that might be cold at heart, give that restoring touch. For any with us tonight unsaved, a stranger to grace and to God, we pray that Thou wilt speak to them, and that this very night, O God, would be the night of their salvation. We thank Thee, Lord, for the great promise of Thy word, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Lord, we would pray tonight that Thou would bless Thy servant who has come amongst us to give a word of testimony, to tell of Thy saving grace and keeping power in his life. We do thank Thee for, brother, and Lord, bless him afresh tonight. Give him help from the sanctuary of heaven as he brings Thy word, as he declares what Thou hast done for his soul and what Thou dost mean to him. We pray that truly he might be in the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message, we pray. And Father, that through his words tonight of testimony, that Christ will be honored and glorified, and that sinners might be pointed to the Lord. Bless him. Bless his wife and his family. We pray that Thou wilt encourage them in the Lord, and that Thou wilt meet their every need day by day by the grace of God. Remember our land tonight. We thank Thee for every faithful servant of God. And Lord, wherever Thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed, we pray that the blessing of God shall attend to it, north and south of the border. Think of England, Scotland, and Wales. We pray, Lord, for every faithful witness of the cross, that Thou would bless and use the testimony of the preaching of Thy word to the extension of Thy kingdom, Lord, in these days in which we live. We think of those that cannot be with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray, Lord, that Thou would richly bless them. And Lord, those who have suffered loss in recent times, comfort their hearts, we beseech of Thee, and be their helper and be their strength, O God, in their time of need. Do abide with us now, we pray. Close us in, Lord, with Yourself, we pray. Put a hedge about our meeting tonight, we pray. Let the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified. And all that is said and done this night, we pray in this meeting, that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be magnified. For it is in His precious and worthy name that we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. At this stage of our meeting, I'd like to welcome you all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us here this Lord's Day evening. Welcome also those that are listening in online as well. Wherever you are, wherever you might be, we pray that each one will know the rich blessing of the Lord this night around the Word of God. We also give a very special welcome to our guest speaker tonight, our brother Mr. John Dummigan from our church in Lurgan. He's an elder there in our congregation, and he's come to share with us tonight and tell of the Lord's saving grace and the Lord's keeping power in his life. It's nice to renew fellowship with our brother. We thank the Lord for him and his faithfulness in the work of God over many years. And he himself has been a great encouragement to many of the Lord's servants in the mission field at home and abroad. By his labors and by his efforts, they have been helped and encouraged in the Lord. But welcome him tonight. A little later on, he's going to tell of what the Lord has done for him. And we pray that he'll feel at home in the midst this evening, and that he'll know God's help and blessing as he shares with us of the Lord's saving grace and power in his life. Now, we were talking earlier before the meeting, and I think the last time he testified for me was, I think, maybe over 30 years ago in a meeting down in Donegal. And there's a bit of water under the bridge since then, but we welcome him again tonight, and we pray the Lord will richly bless him as he shares in the gospel. A few announcements just want to leave with you this evening. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, and I belong to take that meeting on Tuesday night. We commend that to as many as possible of God's people. Trust as many as possible able to gather with us for the season of prayer on Bible study here in the church on Tuesday night. This coming week also sees the recommencement of the Bethel Children's Crusade meetings Tuesday night, 6:30, in Tresna Hall, and then also here on Friday night at 6:30, the Bethel Children's meetings. We'll be watching prayer for these meetings, and also the other DVD ministry as well, and to the other meetings as well at this time. Also Friday night, 8 o'clock, the Youth Fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible the young people will gather for that season of fellowship on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 18th of April, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. And in the will of the Lord, I belong to bring God's word. This day fortnight, we're having a special missionary Sunday here in the church, the Lord's Day, the 25th of April. The guest speaker in the morning at 12 noon will be the Reverend Ian Harris, chairman of our mission board and former missionary to Kenya. And he'll be coming to bring God's word and give an update and various aspects of our mission work across the world. And then at night at 7 p.m., the Reverend Paul Hanna will be with us, and he'll be speaking on the work of Let the Bible Speak radio and television ministry on the Lord's Day evening, also bringing God's words. Remember this, these meetings, pray for them, make them known, and do all you can to invite and encourage others in for that special missionary weekend. Also, as we mentioned this morning, there's a request from our Government and Morals Committee to pray regarding a matter that's coming up for debate in our Stormont Assembly regarding conversion therapy. We'll ask you to pray about this. There are those, and they will have an agenda really to use this to hinder the gospel, to hinder God's work. So do please pray that their plans will be overturned, and I'd certainly encourage you to contact your local MLA and encourage them also to do all they can within their power not to allow this motion to hinder the gospel or hinder God's work. So do remember that, please. There also is a wee free booklet out there on the table in the porch, and it's just entitled Mental Health and the Christian, written by our brother Dr. Campbell, an elder in our church in Lisburn, also a GP. So we commend it to you, and you'll find good reading there for the Christian. Those are free. They're out on the table on the porch as you leave. And then, as we mentioned just this morning, I'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our sister, Mrs. Esther Little, husband James and family, and the passing of an aunt. Ensure that family of our prayers and our sympathies at this time, that they'll know God's grace and help. And then also, as a church, we'd like to also express our sympathy to Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, on the passing of her husband and consort for 73 years, Her Royal Highness Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. And we do assure our Queen and the royal family of our prayers and deepest condolences at this sad time of loss for them as members of the royal family. So that is really all by way of necessary announcements. There is no offering, but the offering plates are at the rear as you leave. We don't take up the offering now in the middle of the meeting, but the offering plates are at the rear as you leave. I'll not be going to the door after the meeting tonight. But if you do want to speak to me, I'll be free afterward. Come and see us at the front, just due to the regulations at this time. But we welcome again our brother, Mr. John Dummigan, in the Lord's great name. And we're going to ask him now to come just up to the lectern in the pulpit to share with us, bring God's word and the testimony, and to tell of God's saving grace. We pray the Lord will richly bless him and use him tonight for the Lord's honour and glory. Thank you, and God bless.
Well, it's good to be here tonight in Enniskillen to give a word of testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm no stranger to here because you're a missionary-minded church, and there's always plenty of missionary meetings held here in Enniskillen. And we just give God all the glory for that. We're going to begin by reading the scriptures. Proverbs chapter 1. And we will break into it in verse 7. So that's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. And we'll be reading to verse 23. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be as an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thy not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. End in our scripture reading at verse 24, and we know of assurance the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. I would just like you to stand for a moment of prayer. It'll change your position. Our Father in heaven, we bow before thee just now, before I give this word of testimony, to tell these people how thou didst save my precious soul. We pray that the Holy Ghost will so come with power tonight, and that he will use me for thy glory, and that we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that is uttered tonight. Lord, we do pray especially for those who are not saved. Lord, we long to see people saved. We don't care what culture they have or what religion they would hold on to. Lord, we just want to see sinners saved. We think of thy people tonight. Lord, we long for a real revival sent from heaven above. That sky blue revival. Send it, Lord, we pray. So continue with us tonight. And bless, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Beginning by testimony tonight with a walk. I know my minister, the people all around would talk about walking today. At the beginning of March last year, that is 2020, so easy to get mixed up in the years now, things have happened so quick and everything's so changed. We're looking at people with masks on us. I remember when I was a young fella, we were put into jail when we wore a mask. Now you get nearly put into jail if you didn't. So that's the confusion there is in the world this day. I was not well. I had a chest infection. So I decided I would go to the doctor. The wife finally got me to go to the doctor. And I thought it was just a virus. It just had come out. And I went and I got tested for it, or not really tested for it, but it brought the Bond Bridge, and my temperature and everything was all right. So that didn't put me through the big test. Just sent me to Lurgan to get an x-ray. And I was feeling really down. It was terrible. I'm looking feel for people during this pandemic. People are really can get into a dark place. And I was feeling that way. I was really feeling. And then whenever the x-ray came back, doctor says, John, it's okay, it's clear. So he gave me antibiotics and I was all right. And I took them. And he says, well, just take it easy. You're getting older now. And I was an athlete. And your body is just slowing down, and as you don't do as much work. So I just thought about it for a wee while. My wife wanted me to go out for a wee walk. I wouldn't even go for a 10-yard walk with her. I was feeling that down. And then something sparked me. I said, John, you're not going to sit here in a settee and eat all these nice buns and stuff and all and get yourself fat. No, get up. So I started to walk. And I was an athlete and I was always nice and competitive. So I started my walking. And the first day I would walk, I was walking along and next thing I looked, there's a wee woman passed me. And she wasn't a young woman. And that sort of stirred me up. It says, John, dear, dear, how far have you gone down here? So I started to walk, and I got up to 2 miles, 5 miles, and 10 miles, and 12 miles. My usual one was 8 miles. And one day, I thought I'd take a wee walk. And I came to a place called Leonardurg. That's outside Bond Bridge, place of my birth. That was in 1948. And as I went down into Leonardurg, I always timed myself. It gives you a wee bit of an interest. And I would just walked around the small village, and I went to the old schoolhouse. And there, as I looked at the old schoolhouse, there it is in ruins, it was burnt. And my memory went back to when I was a young boy. And there was children's meetings there. And I enjoyed them, and they were on a Wednesday night, and they were tremendous. I remember the wee verses of scripture and in the choruses. So the bar that you go in to the hall, and you used to get, you knew when you're children, you get in around the bars and all. And I remember the big pot belly fire in the winter time, it was red, red hot. And the people used to go gather on a Wednesday night and pray. They would have prayed for the wee Dominicans, they would have prayed for other people around the area and the family. And then on a Sunday evening, they had a gospel service. And I used to go there with my mommy and daddy. And when I thought back on those days, let me encourage the children's worker. You're maybe a Sunday school teacher, and I know it's hard at these times. You maybe have the children's meetings and you attend it. Maybe you drive the bus. I am in the children's meeting at home, and Ruth put me in charge of looking after the door. So that was my job. And it's one of my favourite jobs. I just love it. I just really, really, really miss it at this moment. And I give you that encouragement. You do not know what the young people, children, are thinking about. And the same for the youth as well. So I would encourage you, never get down with it. And maybe they're difficult, maybe behaviour, or whatever other way. But just keep battling on. I remember our minister, Mr. Crane, he preached one Tuesday night on never give in and never give up. And you do that. And in my testimony tonight, I'll show you that at the very end of it. How even the word that goes into a young child never leaves them. God uses it. It goes into a memory bank. And sometime or another, the Lord will use it. And that's what I intend tonight. It's maybe a different way I would give him a testimony as usual. But I would like just to encourage God's workers here. It's a hard time. And you're finding it hard to do work for God in these circumstances. But I'm going tonight, with the help of God, to give you that encouragement. For those who are listening on the line as well, that you will be blessed even tonight. I went to that actual school for a year, and then they built a new one. I went to Milltown Primary School. And then I left there when at my age of 11. And I went to an intermediate in Bonbridge. And then I passed my exam, and I went to Bonbridge Technical College. And my mother and my father, they were very good, a lovely upbringing, lovely home. And they were so good and kind to us. And I never remember getting hidings or anything like that. They were always very good and would have talked to us. But the thing about it was, they prayed for us. That's the start of it. Praying. We must always pray for our families. And I was always interested and always liked going with my mommy and daddy to the meetings. But then when I came to about 12 or 13 years of age, in school, I got a wee job, and it was after school, and in Saturdays. The money was scarce in those days. And you had to go and work if you wanted new trousers and things like that. You had to work, maybe in the potato gathering time. And I remember gathering the potatoes and getting them in the basket and putting them on the cart and horse. And that's what we used to do, to get away some clothes for us for the winter time and to help your family. It were difficult, very difficult times. I started in a shop selling men's clothes, and then when my brother left to go to the army, he had a wee job in a grocery shop, and I got that wee job. But then I was introduced to the streets of foolishness. This is what my text for tonight is. The cry of wisdom in the streets of foolishness. And I know I was born a sinner, but I wasn't introduced to the real sinful things of this world. At the age of 13, I started to gamble, smoke, and drink. That was 13 years of age. And then got full-time work. And I lived more in the streets of foolishness. I continued my sinful life with my worldly friends. And then I started to play rugby for Bonbridge Town. I always liked rugby and I always wanted to play for Bonbridge Town when I was young. And I started there and I played for them. All I wanted was adventure in my life. All I wanted was excitement. And I certainly got it in the streets of foolishness. But even I walked in the streets of foolishness when I was a teenager, a young man. I always heard the cry of wisdom in the streets of foolishness. People giving their testimonies. Wisdom, she was always there crying. The Church of Jesus Christ was always crying in the streets, especially in those days. People testifying. And I remember going to the Castle Ballroom, walking up the main street, and I could see John Dixon there with accordion. I could hear the people. I didn't know what they were talking much about, but I knew what they were. Oh yes, you might have made fun, but deep down, knew there was something about it. Wisdom crying in the streets. I left home, I think it was roughly about 1966, to get more adventure. I don't think I was 18 at the time. And went to England, another man who played for Bonbridge Town as well. And in England we went, first time we went was to Manchester. And we went there and got a job. It wasn't there long, but first thing we had done whenever I did go to Manchester was, guess what? Go to Old Trafford. So I went to see Manchester United play football there. And it turned out to be a famous day, but that was the day that Pat Janney scored the goal for Tottenham Hotspur. And I didn't stay long there. Man I went out with, they just separated, and I went to Liverpool. I hadn't much money. Fell in with a fella from the Republic of Ireland, nice fella. And we went, even lived, I think it was near a week, with the down and outs. I knew what it was like not to have anything to eat. I knew what it was like just to have people just to look at you and turn their nose up at you. But then we decided we would go to London. We'd go to the Big Smoke. And that's what we did. We got to in the bus and we went there. And then my address there was, I remember it was 66, I think it was, 66 Old Street, London. That was a nice address, nice fancy address that was. But it was the address also of the Salvation Army Hostel. And that's where I lived in London in the early stages. And but then, when I went there, I went to university. From the being a down and out nearly, living with them, and then going to university, it was a big step. I wanted to learn things. So I went to London University. And I started to learn how to wash dishes. I learned how to make tea and coffee. And then I got promotion to cutting up the vegetables. And believe it or not, I got promotion even to help the cook. So I had a good time in university. I learned a lot of basic things. And funny enough, in my life, they were a great help to me. And we used to call in to a public house there in Islington. And the man said to me, says, would you like to come and work for me here? And it took me 2 or 3 minutes to make up my mind, to say yes. So I started in the public house trade. And the place where I worked was noted. It was noted as the Irish house, but it had Scotch tartans all around the place. So it was a mixture of Irish and Scotch in it. And it was most noted for all its fighting. And if you liked fighting, that was the place to be. And there was all sorts of gangsters and all sorts in that place. And I got to know them. And some of them were nice enough people. But that's the way they lived. And that's the people who I were mixed up in with. And then there was a man and woman came to look after the place while the landlord went on holidays. And they were a nice couple. He was, called them Tom and Arlene Dixon. Tom had just done a manager in a football team, and he used to play for Barrow, and he played for Brighton and Reading, well-known teams. But most of all, he was centre-half along with Malcolm Allison and Frank O'Farrell and a few more, all these top managers. And he played for West Ham United. So it was easy to get a ticket for some of the matches. You just had to say his name. And whenever they left, they got their own house. So I decided, they decided that they'd ask me, first of all, would I like to work for them in the West End of London. So I did. I went there. And this was a different place altogether. This was a place where business people, you had the television people would come in, Shaw Taylor and all, we didn't come in, he was always on television. And I remember I sat down at his dinner one day, if I'm mistaken, and different ones, film stars and pop group people. We used to play football with Barry Mason and Maxie, his brother, and different ones, Tom and us, on a Sunday in Hyde Park. And they all had their teams, and my wee team was Glenavon. And you'll hear about that later on. And this was a sort of like completely different. There was comedians, Jimmy Tarbuck would have come in, and Chick Murray. Some of the older ones might have remembered him. And I was friendly with him and used to go with him to Golders Green on a Sunday night while he'd done the Leslie Crowther show on different shows. And I was allowed in to backstage as well and see all the other, remember that night, Lulu and young girl called Lulu and different ones were there as well. That's the type of place it was. But just let me tell you that the sin in that place was exactly the same sin that there was in the other place. No difference. Oh yes, sin can get all dickied up. It can get all its makeup. It can get different garments and cover it. But let me tell you from experience, sin is sin. And the wages of sin is death. But still and all, as I lived in those places, I got mixed up with greyhounds and different things like that. And I remember whenever I would go to Walthamstow Greyhound Racing Track, and I would get off in a tube station, and I walked across, and there was always a man standing. He never said much. I never ever spoke to him. And he had a scripture code on him. Don't even remember what it was. And he was standing there. And even though I was walking the streets of foolishness, there still was wisdom crying in the street. That man means a lot to me. I'll tell you later. And other places that I would remember going one night to the club. And it was hard to get into this place. And my gambling friends said to me, you just say that you're a dancer on the Fiddler on the Roof. That was a musical that was going on in the West End at that time. Good job, they didn't ask me to dance. I went into the place And there's this nice hot dog type of a thing. And I thought it was great. I was going to have a great night tonight. I was going to really enjoy it. And I started to eat it. All of a sudden, I couldn't get this out of my mind. My mind went back to I was a young boy when late Noel Turkington was speaking to us in the children's meetings. Yes, the children's meetings. That all came back to me. In a place where I thought I was going to have a great time, a place of enjoyment in the streets of foolishness. They came back. And I could just thought of that them children's meetings. The whole desire of enjoying myself gone. I just got a taxi and went home. That was wisdom. Crying in the streets of foolishness. I also lived in Northampton and a place called Garstown and in Hayes as well. I played a few games for Hayes Town Rugby as well. And I was heavy on the smoking. Used to smoke the business I was in, 60 cigarettes a day. And it was very difficult. I used to run around Northolt and it was terrible. My breathing, I was always pretty good, fast runner, but I was slowing down, even at a young age. And it was destroying my health. And as I was there, I decided I would come home. I tried to stop that smoking so many, many times. And I just could not do it. And I decided I would come home. And that was in 1972. I got jobs driving lorries and things like that. And I lived with my mum and dad. I continued to walk in the streets of foolishness at home with all my sinful and worldly habits, especially gambling. That was my first love. I always liked gambling. And then, one night, maybe some of the older ones would know what, I was at a Vanguard meeting. I'm sure you know what that's, history now. And I met a girl there, and her sister, and we got friendly. And they were a Quaker family. And there, even as I walked the streets of foolishness with my friends there, back home, they're here in Oregon. While I was going with them to meetings, I never listened much, but I picked up some things. I just went, just to please her. And I heard wisdom crying in the streets. It was going in, and it was entering into my heart. You see, God uses all these people and all these things. He was using them to bring me to himself. He was introducing me to these people, one by one. I lived with my mum and dad at those days, and I used my mother's car. She was so good to me. And during those times of trouble, it was difficult times. But I thank God for all those who cried in the streets of foolishness. Then one Saturday morning, it was the 19th of July, 1973, I wake up another day. Oh, this is great. going to enjoy myself today. And the first place where I went to was the bookmakers. And I placed my bet on the bookmakers. And then later on, I went and collected my winnings. And then I went out to Francis' house in the country. It was an old-fashioned house. I think it was built in King William's time. His army built it. So, and a tin roof and everything. And I went out there to see Francis. I was so happy. I wasn't thinking about changing my life. I didn't want to change my life. But then you see, God had a different plan. I didn't know that there was about a miracle was about to take place in my life. I came under great conviction of sin. Just as it was. Everything was, all the links were coming. There was still another link to go. I realized I was a lost sinner. And all those messages, all those cries of wisdom in the streets of foolishness, all were coming together. I did not want to go to a lost eternity. All I wanted to do that afternoon was to get right with God, to be saved, to have my sins forgiven. There was a real battle going on. There was a battle with Satan. I was born in sin, so I belonged. Everyone's born in sin, so we all belong to Satan. He wanted to keep me in those streets of foolishness. But then there was the Holy Ghost. And he was pointing me to Christ. He was leading me to Christ. I believed that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I believed he was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. I believed that he went to the cross. He suffered more than any man ever suffered. I believed that he died on that cruel tree for me. I believed he was risen up from the dead. I believed he was in heaven even interceding for me, saying, come on to me. And I just came as I was, weary, worn. I just came and I confessed my sins before Almighty God. I repented of my sin. I forsook my sin and started to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. All things were passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I was so happy. Mommy and Daddy were happy. Family were happy. The people who prayed for me were happy. And I thank God for all those who cried in the streets of foolishness for me. Worker, maybe you in the open air. Maybe you're just giving testimonies. I could tell you of many testimonies of people and how they were so loving and kind in presenting the gospel. Many of them were women. And you have a job to do. Just being nice and presenting the gospel in a loving manner. With compassion in our hearts. Oh, I thank God for that. Then, what was I going to do? What church would I belong to? I never really went. I did when I was young, but I never really went to church. And then I just started my own business in Oregon. And there was an elderly gentleman called Fisherman Bill. We called him Bill Percy. And he used to come to our house. And he I knew he was a Christian. But this man was just an ordinary man. He wasn't an elder. He wasn't in the committee. He was just someone who attended the church, who loved the Lord, and wanted to see other people enjoying God's fellowship. He came to me and he says, "John, why don't you come with me?" I was having some hard weeks. It was hard to do away with my friends. And I was still with them, mixed in with them. It was so difficult. This was something completely different from what I was used to. And I needed help. And God always has somebody there to help you. Always somebody there to help you. And he says, "Well, come with me." So I went there to Georgia Street Free Presbyterian Church. And I'm still there. I'm still there. Oh, thank God for all these people. Then my new desire was to serve God, my new master, to have new friends, and this was difficult. The Lord gave me a burden. This is what I'm going to bring into you from my past, what I've mentioned tonight. And the burden that I had, I was delivering order. I was going up by Morningview Park, the home of Glen Avon football team that I always supported. And I went back and I decided it would be a good idea to give gospel tracts out here. So I decided, yes, I'll do that. So I put them on the windscreens of cars. And being a young Christian, that's the worst thing to do. To witness for the Lord is to put tracts on people's windscreen. Because nobody likes anything on your windscreen. But I didn't know the difference. I thought I was doing good. So you have to learn. You have to learn. So I started to give gospel tracts out of the football match. And that was in 1973. I used to give wee boys, a six-year-old, a gospel tract. And I'm still doing it. And the people, them young boys, are now 55. And they still remember it, getting a gospel track at every football match. Only because of this verse, every match was tracks given out on it. If I wasn't able to do it, I would have got somebody else to help me. We were a good team. And praise God for that. Whenever I go out, I wear a scripture coat. And this is where I come back to the wee man at Walthamstow. I think of him. Man I've never even seen before. And that's why I wear that scripture coat. That scripture coat, I remember one time I went to a football match and giving out tracts and I got my photo in the front page of it. And then a wee while back, the gospel tract, everybody saw it in the front page of the newspaper. And then later on at that, the international was being played on the Lord's Day, and we were down at it, and I was giving tracts there. And this man, whom we knew from the previous time, who put the photo of the scripture verse on the front of the newsletter, and he was a Christian, he says, "Come on with me." And he brought me in about 20 or 25. All photographers came around and took a photo standing up against murals in different places. It took me away from everybody else, place on her own. And there they took photographs. The next day, the next week, the photographs were all around the world. Different places. Gary's had them and all sorts. And I think there's still places yet as well. That wee man, standing in Walthamstow, giving out gospel tracts with scripture code, never talked to him. I thank God for him. Thank God for him. And let me tell you, the work that you do for God, He doesn't forget about it. He'll use it in the links of a chain to someone being saved. His word will not return to him void. He uses it. You may think, it's simple. That wee man, Bill Percy, Fisherman Bill, he didn't ask me to come to the church. No, Lord bless. I joined that church. My wife, we got married, Francis and I got married on the 19th of July. And we have three boys, and we like to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. And they would come even to the prayer meetings in our churches. But through up time, and they went their own way. When they come to a certain age, I done the same, certain age, they went their own way. And there's nothing you can do about it. Only pray. That's what my mommy and daddy done. They prayed. Prayed. God answered their prayer. They had faith and they believed. That's what we did. I remember one of my sons, I'll mention. I remember one night when my mommy was on her deathbed. And the boys come in to see her, say goodbye. And when I went out again, Mommy said to Francis, "You're lovely." And Francis says, "But Samuel's not saved." Big smile came out of her face. He says, "Don't you worry. God's going to save him. She had the faith and the belief. A wee while later, poor Samuel was mixed up with many things. And months later, maybe over a year, and he was out. He was going to get married, and a friend of our family, Reverend Thomas Martin, invited him. He was going to marry them, and invited them to a gospel mission. He went to the gospel mission. And then later on, he was going home one night. The Holy Spirit took complete control. And on his way, before he got into the house, the Lord saved him. The Lord saved him. Another miracle. Every conversion is a miracle. The Lord done a great work in their hearts. Have to believe. I'm praying with my own family for household salvation. Long to see the family saved. Just let me tell you, maybe you have someone in your family in wayward. Keep on praying. Never give in. Never give up. Trust. Believe. Have faith in God. I will finish my testimony tonight for a few moments, just with some thoughts from the scripture. And it's in the Sermon of the Mount. And in chapter 7, in verse 14, Jesus taught the people about two ways. In that verse it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat." See, when your life is over, and you have ignored wisdom crying in the streets of foolishness, it will lead you to a lost eternity. In other words, lead you to hell. When you watch the television today, even in football matches, anything, one of the most popular words is hell. You just listen. And many times that word is mentioned. Why? Because it's real. It's a reality. It is, there is a place called hell. Means, Jenna, the place of punishment. And in Luke 16 and 23, we read about a certain rich man. And when he died, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He was in a place of no return. He couldn't go. He would have loved someone to brought his family the gospel of Jesus Christ and encourage them and tell them to be right with God, to be saved. But he couldn't. Then in verse 14, Jesus says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. One of my favourite disciples I do like, and I've preached on him one time, and it's wonderful the way that man is. And you mightn't be yours, but he's called Thomas. I like Thomas. People who always say that, you've probably thought it now, doubting Thomas. But I just see more than doubting. We all feel it. We all feel the Lord. But that man was such a great man. He stood up for the gospel. He wasn't afraid of anybody. Wasn't afraid. And he asked a question. They were talking about heaven. Lord, how do we know the way? How do we know it? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me. For those who are the obedient to the cries of wisdom in the streets of foolishness, they're saved from the penalty sin. They're saved from a lost eternity. Saved. I think of the rich young man. Remember him? He came running to Jesus. And he wanted to know the way. He says, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus knew all about him. The Lord mentioned the commandments. Not yet rich young ruler. Oh, I have kept all the commandments, even from my youth. I've been so good. The Lord turned round and said to him, well, go sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. And come, follow me. That young man, so rich, so many possessions. He was so sorrowful. He just did not want to let them go. And he went his way. Then we also see in chapter 7 and verse 24, we have two men. First was a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not. Why did that house not fall? Because it was founded upon a rock. And that rock being the Lord Jesus Christ. And we build our house when we come as a sinner to Christ. Ask him for repentance. We're gloriously and wonderfully saved. We're built on that rock, Christ Jesus. And even though the winds will come against us, and I'm sure you could witness of many winds over this last year, and blow against that house, still there. We maybe fail the Lord Jesus Christ many times. We're only old sinners. We sin. There's no doubt about it. These bodies are full of sin. Even when we're praying, they're so sinful. Our bodies always are. But our sins are forgiven. were washed in that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born again. We're on that rock in Christ Jesus. And if you're not saved, I say we're closing our meeting now. But I must say this, if you're not saved, you're like unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Why? Because it was built upon the sand. Built upon the sand. It was a wrong foundation. It was the streets of foolishness that leads to our lost eternity. And I'd finish off tonight with an invitation. Invitation. In chapter 6, the same Sermon on the Mount, we have two masters. It says in verse 24 in chapter 6, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." Cannot serve God and self. Cannot serve God and Satan. You have to make that choice. To make that choice. Sometimes you don't get wrong today. If you're not saved tonight, this meeting, or listening in us online, if you're not saved, you'll be in a lost eternity forever and ever. That's why we want to see you saved. This is why we come to the prayer meetings. This is why we witness. This is why we have meetings. This is why wisdom crieth in the streets of foolishness, so you may be saved. Oh, I pray that you will come tonight. We can help you in any way. Don't leave this meeting. And I do pray that the Lord will bless every word that is said tonight. Remember, Christian, you're serving God. Maybe you'll be some link in the chain. Maybe God is using you at this very moment. Maybe there's someone on your heart. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's some of your family. And you're thinking about them, you're witnessing to them. And you're not getting very far as you think. You do not know what they are thinking. But God knows. When you pray to God, pray that the Holy Spirit will come. You see, we do our work. We are wisdom crying in the streets. The Church of Jesus Christ crying in the streets. But the Holy Ghost is the one that leads a soul to Christ. It's not us. We can point. Never give in, never give up. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we just bow before thee in this meeting just now, if there's anyone in this meeting not saved, it's my prayer and desire that I will work in their hearts. It's a prayer and desire of every child of God here tonight that I will so speak. We think of our young people, so vulnerable. Pray that I will help them, help the young Christians. Pray that I will use them for thy glory. Thou knowest, even in the mission field, oh, we need helpers. We need ministers. We need those who can work in schools, school teachers. Pray that I'll even work in their hearts that they will do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do pray that I will bless the Whitfield College of the Bible. Even maybe there's someone in this meeting tonight thinking of going to the college to get teaching on the scriptures, and in the days that lie ahead, go out into the mission field. Oh, Father, work in their hearts, I pray. Thou sayest, the fields are white and ready to harvest, but the laborers are few. Lord, we do pray that I will bless the work of this church. We thank thee for the children, workers that they have, that I will bless them and I will strengthen them in these difficult times, and that they will carry on and never give in and never give up. Lord, bless them, I pray, and help them and lead them and guide them. So, Lord, we just pray now that I will bring us to our homes in safety. We do think of those who are listening online just before they put it off. Lord, we pray that they'll think on what they've heard tonight, that the Holy Spirit will bring sinners unto thyself. So, Father, bring us home in safety and bless us, we pray. We praise God the Father who planned our salvation. We praise God the Son who fulfilled it in the cross and Calvary. We praise God the Holy Spirit who convicted us of our sin, brought us to Christ. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Amen.
Well, we'd like to thank our brother tonight for coming and sharing that personal word of testimony of God's saving grace and keeping power in his life. And we pray the Lord will bless our brother, lead him on with himself, and continue to bless him and make him a blessing. If you're not saved tonight, come to the Lord. Trust the Lord to be your Savior, and you'll find the Lord no disappointment. And dear believer in Christ, even through your brother's testimony tonight, may you be encouraged to press on in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. We're not going to the door, but if you'd like to speak to our brother, he's up at the front here, or myself after the meeting, we'll be here to help you in any way. But I encourage you just to take your time as you leave, just pew by pew from the rear. Thank you, and safe home, and God bless you all. Thank you.